Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Coming up in this hour, science fiction. Later on, a story from Art Obler on the series Think. But right now, it's suspense from October 11th, 1955 on CBS with the radio play Heavens to Betsy.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, we bring you transcribed a story of a very ordinary family and what happens when a UFO lands in their backyard. We call it Heavens to Betsy. So now, starring Trude Marson and Hi Averback, here is tonight's suspense play, Heavens to Betsy. People might call what happened to the Doyles a fantasy, or an allegory, or mass hysteria, or just about anything. But it happened, no matter what you call it. And you couldn't convince the government, a half dozen army men, and the Doyles that it didn't. In particular, you couldn't convince Betsy Doyle. The day it started wasn't much different to any other day. It was about 5 o'clock in the evening, and there was a thunder and rainstorm hanging around the suburb where the Doyles lived. Henry Doyle was still at the bank, about to leave for home. Betsy Doyle was in the kitchen cooking dinner. And 8-year-old Dickie Doyle was listening to the radio.
So, Captain Spaceman, you are ready to tell us where you have hidden the Galactic Aster Prism?
Never, Pothos. With all your secret knowledge, if you're really so smart, you should be able to use your visio-otoscope and find out for yourself.
Unfortunately, while you put up such a tremendous, although useless, struggle against the royal soldiers of Gramic, the visio-otoscope was smashed. It will take 2 days to repair it, and I cannot afford to wait.
That's too bad, Pothos.
Then I am afraid I have no other
Are you all right, dear?
Oh, sure, Mom, but the darn radio.
Oh, it must have been a thunderbolt. It was awfully close. I felt it. Shook the house. Frightened me to death.
Oh, Mom, it's an electrical storm, that's all.
Well, that's all it is to you, but I don't like it. Hope your father gets home early. I hate him being out in this.
Oh, radio. Oh, maybe a tube's gone out. I'll take it.
No, you won't. Don't you touch that thing. You turn it off right now.
But, Captain,
I don't care. Dangerous having the radio on in a storm like this.
Oh, Mom, it's silly.
Please. Please do as I ask you, Dickie. Makes me nervous.
Okay.
You can help me in the kitchen if you want.
Oh, I guess I'll read a book or something.
Why don't you bring it in the kitchen and read it? You can keep me company. I wish you would.
Okay, Mom.
Hello?
Hello, Bets. Are you all right over there?
Ella? Hi. Oh, sure, we're fine. Wasn't that something? I thought it was right on the house.
Oh, I was scared, too. I looked out the window and I saw the flash. It looked like it was in your backyard.
Oh, thank heavens it wasn't.
Must have been on the other side of the tree.
Oh, I guess so. Honey, I've got to get back to my dinner. I'll call you back.
Oh, okay.
That's how it started. The great flash, the explosion, and it was only static to speak for the radio. Dickie took his latest space science comic book to the kitchen and became lost in willowy women of the future and their comrades in bravery, super ray gun armed, invincible globe-headed granite-jawed heroes. His mother prosaically made dumplings for the stew. It was 5 minutes to 6 when the phone rang again.
Will you get it, dear?
My hand.
Sure, Mom.
This is Richard Doyle.
Oh, Dickie, this is Mrs. Gilbert, dear. Is everything all right over there? Can I talk to your mother?
Mom's making dumplings. She can't come on the phone.
Oh. Well, ask her what that funny glow is over your way. Is there a fire in the woods? Did the thunderbolt set fire to something?
Oh, I don't see anything. No fire around here, Mrs. Gilbert. Besides, the rain would put out a fire.
Well, there is something glowing, Dickie. I can see it from my window. I don't know why you can't. It's right out there near your house.
Maybe it's out the back. I'll take a look, Miss Gilbert.
All right, dear.
Who is it, Dickie?
Miss Gilbert, Mom. She says there's a glow around here somewhere.
Glow?
Yeah, she thought it was a fire. I'm going to take a look out back.
Oh, no, you're not. Pouring out there. You can pull up the shade and see out the window.
Okay.
I'll be glad when your father gets home.
I don't like these storms. Dickie, will you... What's that?
I don't know, Mom. I guess it's what Mrs. Gilbert was talking about. Kind of a glow.
Oh, it's in the backyard. It's on fire.
No, it isn't. It's just a something. Shining, like...
Pull down the shade. Pull down the shade. Hurry. Hurry.
Oh, Mom.
Oh, don't you be scared. We've got to think. What would your father do? Maybe we'd better
better give your old man a kiss. Hi, son.
Oh, hi, Dad. Darling. I didn't hear you come in.
No, I guess you didn't.
Dear, there's something out there.
Where?
In the back. We saw it. No. Oh, you mustn't go out.
I don't get it. What?
Look.
See, Dad? All shining and glowy.
Where'd that come from?
I don't know. Ella called and said she saw it from her house, didn't she, Dickie?
Yeah. Oh, hey,
all right. Quiet, son. We've got to investigate this.
Yeah, but,
son,
Dad...
there's something out there, all right. No question about that. Can't see too well. The shrubs are in the way.
Well, it's like neon lights, only all over. You going out there, Dad? Can I come with you?
Son, this is one of those times I was telling you about. Fools rush in where brave men fear to tread. Do you remember me telling you that?
Yes, Dad.
Well, this is one of those times.
Mr. Doyle turned back to the window and stood staring out into the wet night, softly radiant from the glow in his backyard. He was a man to whom the unusual rarely, if ever, happened. A man who in his teens dreamed of adventure and heroism, and his 20s dreamed of adventure and heroism, and now in his late 30s, still dreamed of adventure. The heroism, at least, was tempered by knowledge of his own weaknesses. His life had been ordinary, and he could never completely forgive life for that. Now there was something out there in the night, and he knew that it was the beginning of a great moment. He thought,
I don't know what it is, but it's different. I can feel it. I know it. I'm a little afraid to go out and see. But I want to. It's my chance, whatever it is. It's come to me. To Betsy. It might even...
Dad? Dad, what do you think? What do you think it is?
Hmm? Oh, yes, son. I was looking at it. This is a time for caution. Betsy, go up and get my pistol, will you?
No! No, I will not. You call the police, the fire department.
It's not a fire. It's a thing. Probably perfectly harmless, but I want to make sure.
Oh, Henry,
Dickie,
please.
Get my pistol, will you?
Oh, boy. Sure, Dad. Be right back.
I don't want you to go out. Henry, if you love me, you'll...
I love you, and I'm going to find out what it is.
Oh, here you are, Dad.
Thank you, son.
Well, if you're going, I'm going too.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Dickie, you get my raincoats in the hall.
Okay, Mom.
Honey.
There's no use talking. I'm going. What do you think it is in the yard?
I don't know. But I've got an idea.
Oh, here, Mom. Can I come too, Dad? Can I?
No, son. You stay here.
Oh.
All right, Henry. I'm ready.
All right. Come on and stay behind me. You understand?
I'll watch from the window.
Yes, you do that, son. Well, we'll get a good look at it when we get past the shrubs.
Henry! Look!
You wanted to know what it is? I'll tell you. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened in the world. I knew it would happen someday. It's a UFO, that's what it is. A flying saucer!
We'll be right back.
That's what it was, all right. No longer an unidentified flying object, but a very real flying saucer. Henry Doyle believed in saucers, and this one had landed in their backyard and lay in the mud, glowing, a soft, rich, silvery glow. They were lost in excitement, and with it went their normal Earth-like fear. Together, they walked around it.
Well, I figure 8 feet long and 3 wide and about 2 feet high. Wouldn't you say that, Betts?
I guess so. There's no door, no windows or anything. How are the people going to get out?
I don't know. I don't know.
What's that?
Hmm?
Siren. Somebody else must have seen it. I'll bet it's the police.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Come on, let's get inside.
What are you going to do?
If they come here, you let me do the talking. I don't want you or Dickie to say a word.
But Henry,
I want you to promise me this is the most important thing in our lives. I mean it, Betts. You promise?
I've got into you, Henry. It's so funny,
All right, I'll tell you. This thing, this saucer, it doesn't surprise me, see? I've known this was going to happen. I'm not like those people who laugh and make jokes about it. I knew it was coming. Up there on some planet, it's been planned for a long time, a billion miles away. They didn't surprise Henry Doyle, though. No. This is big. Bigger than you can imagine. And maybe we're the first people in the world to know about it. That's why, from here on, no matter what happens, I want you to let me do the talking. Do you understand?
Yes, Henry.
Is something wrong, officer?
Well, that's what we want to find out. I got a call from a Mrs. Gilbert down the road. Said she called you a few minutes ago, and the kid answered, and then went away and didn't come back.
Oh, gee, the phone. I forgot. Mom, Mrs. Gilbert.
Well, what's it all about?
What's what all about, officer?
Well, Mrs. Gilbert says there's a light or a glow or something over here. Well, I don't know. You got a thing that glows here? I couldn't figure out what she was trying to say.
Well, nothing wrong here, is there, Bet?
No, nothing.
It beats me.
Well, Mrs. Gilbert is kind of nervous in storms. You know how it is.
Dad, aren't you going to tell...
Son, you better get your hands washed for supper. Supper time, isn't it, dear?
Heavens, yes, and everything will be ruined.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry you had the trip for nothing, officer. Well, now, I'm glad everything's all right.
Maybe we better take a look out back just to be on the safe side, huh?
What? Why? I was just out there. It's fine.
All the same, can't take chances, you know. Back door through here?
Now, listen. This is my house. A man's house is his castle. If anything were wrong, I wouldn't be telling you everything's okay, would I?
We'll just take a minute.
Dinner's ready, dear.
Well, you go ahead, folks. I'll take a... Holy. What's that?
What?
That.
Well, I don't see anything.
What do you got out there? Something on fire?
Oh, that. Oh, nothing. Just a lighting arrangement. Kind of pretty, don't you think?
Lighting? That's no lighting. Both of you stay here. No funny business. I'm going to take a look.
The officer took a look. Didn't believe what he saw. Took another look, and the secret was out. He put in a call for the riot squad and waited. Henry thought for a while. Then a slow anger grew in him. It was his flying saucer. Betsy's flying saucer. It belonged to the Doyles. More than that, he knew it was his one chance for fame, to offset the dull obscurity of his daily life. Henry Doyle objected, and because she loved her husband, Betsy objected.
You've no right to do this, officer.
You're trespassing on my property, and you haven't got a warrant.
There's no good saying, My husband is right.
That saucer is mine. It's on my land. My land is paid for. It belongs to me.
Disturbing a peace.
Disturbing you. It isn't disturbing us. It isn't disturbing anybody. It's just sitting.
Well, there's enemies inside.
Who said they were enemies?
Well, it's a fake.
You just said it was full of enemies.
Now, look, lady. This thing's got me real upset. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm scared, if you want to know. But I'm a police officer, and I got a job to do. And I'm staying here until I'm told otherwise.
The riot squad came, the sergeant, followed by the inspector, followed by the chief of police. Henry Doyle said,
"This is my house. My property. My flying saucer. You have no warrant. Get out of my house. Get off my property.
Betsy agreed with every word. Then the FBI came, followed by some extremely important gentlemen in uniform. Henry was not impressed.
I don't care what you say. In the morning, I'm going to see a lawyer. No, I'm going to get the federal district attorney. A man's house is his castle. You're all trespassing.
Now, listen,
no,
Mr. Doyle.
No, you listen, General.
Sure.
I know you're real interested in my saucer. Of course, when a few other fellas like me were trying to convince you they existed, you laughed at us. Well, now I'm laughing. Ha ha. My wife's laughing, too. It's in our backyard. It stays there.
But have you any idea what kind of beings are in it? Did you ever stop to consider that they may be hostile to the Earth?
Well, that's my tough luck, not yours. It's my bit of Earth. You're not going to touch that saucer.
Right. A man's home is his castle.
Right. Castle.
The next morning, Henry Doyle proved it. He conferred with the U.S. District Attorney, who in turn conferred with Washington. And the upshot of all this was...
The object now resting in the backyard of Mr. Henry Doyle is, until proved a menace to public welfare or hostile to these United States, his property, and shall remain inviolate.
The Army didn't agree. Neither did the police or any other law enforcement agency. A battery of heavy guns, 8 tanks, a machine gun unit, 2 flamethrowers, as well as a picked company of commandos were brought to the scene. The road was blocked off, and the siege of the Doyles' residence began. 5 days later, the saucer lay, still glowing quietly, and Mr. and Mrs. Doyle stood by the incinerator watching it. Betsy surmised...
If they're afraid of it, they'd think they'd try and get away.
Well, maybe they're biding their time. Must all be as strange to them as it is to us. Fine welcome they must think they're getting. That is, if they've got some kind of instrument inside that can see what's out on the road.
You know, I still can't understand how the people inside the saucer get out.
It's funny. I've been over the thing 12 times. There isn't even a seam I can see.
Do you think maybe we ought to let those scientists take a look at it? They can't hurt
us. No. Now, don't you start. This is ours. You let one of those fellas get a hand on it, and the next thing you'll know, we won't have our flying saucer anymore. No.
Dad?
No, what is it, son?
Here's about 40 men at the front door. They're from newspapers. They want to talk to you.
Oh. All right. Tell them to wait. I'll be there in a minute.
Okay, Dad.
Oh, Henry. It is wonderful, isn't it? Nothing like this has ever happened to us. I never thought it would.
You know, old Catacomb at the bank called me yesterday. Offered me the vice presidency.
No!
Yeah. I didn't tell you because... That's nothing to what offers we'll get. Honey, this is our big moment. It's our big moment in history. History, Betts. I'm not going to let this get away from us. I've waited all my life for it.
What are you going to tell the newspaper men?
Whatever they want to know. Come on. We'll see them together.
Gentlemen, you've asked my opinion of the object. Do I think it is a ship from out of space? Gentlemen, my answer is yes. In due time, as soon as the government and I come to terms and that ridiculous show of force outside my house is withdrawn, you will be allowed to see the thing and to take your picture. Well, gentlemen, that's all I can say for the moment. I know you'll excuse me. There are many things to attend to.
Oh, Henry. Henry, you're wonderful. You sounded just like a senator. Even a president.
Oh, no. I'm still plain old Henry Doyle, your loving husband, whose home is his castle.
A senatorial committee came to investigate. Henry was polite, allowed them to see his saucer, but no more. And the word spread until there wasn't a corner of the globe that didn't know about Henry Doyle and his flying saucer. A week later, the Supreme Court was in session debating the district attorney's decision. The country was divided. Half said the saucer belonged to Henry,
The other half thought it was a shame. They never quite made clear what the shame was, but it was. The Doyles never budged. But it was the small Doyle, Dickie, who one evening, 3 weeks after the thing had landed, noticed what was taking place in the backyard.
Dad? Mom? The saucer?
What about it?
Something's happening to it.
What?
The light's going out.
Oh, that's silly. It could
have... It is.
He's right. It's not as bright as it was. You can almost see it getting dimmer.
What do you think's happening?
I don't know.
Maybe they're going to come out now.
I don't know.
Henry, I'm afraid.
Oh, no, no, you don't have to be.
Something's wrong with it. I can feel it.
Oh, no, that's silly. It's the people inside I'm worried about. Maybe it's the power supply or their own special air.
I'm afraid.
It's getting dark awful quickly, Dad.
We've got to do something.
What?
Maybe the scientists. Yeah, that's it. The scientists. You go and call them. They're at the Grand Hotel. All of them. Hurry, Betsy.
The scientists came. Grave and wise, they rapped on the thing, listened with super stethoscopes, took readings on wonderful electronic devices, and shook their heads. That night, at exactly 11.04 p.m., the glow went out. And as it did so, the saucer began to shrivel, grew smaller and smaller. The group watched silently.
Can't somebody help? It's just melting away.
What can you do?
It's dying. Henry, it's dying. We've got to help.
I don't know.
If we could get a sample of the substance, but we can't make a difference.
Oh, I won't have you banging on it like that. When it's dying, stop it! Stop it!
Honey, Beth.
I mean it. Let it alone.
It's no use anyway. It'll be gone soon. You can stop. It isn't any good.
It was alive, Henry. It was alive.
Honey, no. No. There were people in it. People from another planet. They couldn't live on Earth, that's all.
No, 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 you're wrong. I feel as if I've lost, oh, I don't know, like losing Dickie. I tell you, it was alive. There wasn't anyone inside. That's it. That thing is all of it.
You're tired, Mrs. Doyle. Why don't you go inside?
Oh, you're fools. A woman knows. It was an animal, or maybe like us, only made differently. It was alive. And now it's dying.
It's almost gone.
Yes. Too bad we couldn't have examined it earlier.
Dad, listen.
It's gone.
Yes.
Did you hear that sound?
Yes. Almost like a voice. Sighing.
I wonder.
On the spot where the thing had rested, there was nothing, not a fragment. And although they didn't know why, the scientists and Henry Doyle stood for 5 minutes, just looking. Nobody spoke a word, and there was a great quiet, a sadness in the air.
I feel sad.
Strange. I do, too.
Dad, why are you crying?
Am I? That's funny.
Mom was crying, too. What's happened?
They all went away, silently. The scientists, the guns and tanks, the soldiers and police. And finally... only the Doyles were left in their house, which was their castle.
Do you really think it was alive?
Yes. I think it was hurt and fell down, and we didn't understand.
If I hadn't been so selfish, wanting to keep it to myself, we might have saved it.
No. No, it's probably better this way.
You know, everybody felt what you felt. sad. Even the general and the scientists.
I wonder what it was, where it came from.
Somewhere up there, perhaps one day, another will come.
Suspense, in which Truda Marson and Hi Everback starred in tonight's presentation of Heavens to Betsy. Be sure to be listening for next week's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Suspense, on 2 and 2 yesterday from October 11th, 1955 on CBS, the Anthony Ellis story Heavens to Betsy. A couple that was considered to be radio royalty, Kathy and Elliot Lewis, would repurpose that script for their prestige series On Stage. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now another repeat of sorts. It's Arch Obler's story, The Word, which first appeared on the horror show Lights Out in September of 1943. The American Broadcasting Company picked it up for their speculative fiction series Think in 1953. It's the story, The Word.
Think. 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 Think.
You.
Think.
Live in a world made by you.
Think.
A world of fact and fantasy.
Think.
But where does fact end?
Think.
And fantasy begin?
Think. Think.
This is a program designed...
Think.
To make you...
Think.
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 Think. Think.
Here's the entrance, honey. Empire State Building.
Express to the observation room.
Going up.
In here, Eve.
Okay.
Stage front, please.
Eve?
Mm-hmm?
Forget all about what's happening outside. Newspapers and things. Don't let it spoil this.
Nothing can spoil being with you, Michael.
Angel.
Gee, I can't hardly feel the elevator moving. It is moving,
isn't
it? Oh,
sure. Look at the lights. We're at the 25th floor already.
Gosh, doesn't seem possible. Oh, my ears.
Yeah, mine do.
Because we're going so fast.
No, it's something about air pressure. You know, like getting on top of a mountain. Gee, look at those lights. We're at the 50th floor. At least they say so.
Gosh, it's so scary and wonderful.
Yeah, just think. 102 floors up in the air.
Not on this elevator, mister.
What?
You have to change at the 80th floor and then again at the 86th.
Oh, thanks. Look, Eve, 70th floor already.
I'll bet they're fooling.
Yeah.
I hear there's an extra paper out that the war...
Please.
Huh?
If you don't mind, we don't want to talk about those things.
Oh. Honeymooners?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame you. As far as we go.
Where do we go from here?
The next elevator, right over there, sir.
Thanks. Better hold on to my arm, Eve.
Okay. Why does everyone have to talk about war all the time, Michael?
Oh, it's just the way it is, I guess.
Calling up.
Come ahead, Eve.
Watch your step, please.
I wonder how much you can see up there.
All New York, the guidebook says.
As far as we go.
You mean this is where we...
86th floor. Take the elevator right over there for the observation room.
Thanks. Come on, Eve.
But, Michael, we no sooner got in than we got out.
6 floors higher. At least she says so. I guess this is the place where we get to the next...
Going up.
Come on, Eve. We'll never get closer to heaven.
Observation room, next stop, 102nd floor.
And I used to think that I was getting up high when I climbed the apple tree.
Observation room.
God, Express is right. All right, Eve. This is it.
Will the wind blow, will it? Oh, why, it's all glassed in.
Yes.
Gosh, how wonderful.
Gosh.
Michael, come over here.
Huh?
Look the
the ocean out there.
Yeah, yeah, I can see the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, gosh, it's wonderful.
And you didn't want to come up here.
Oh, just like the world right under us.
Not scared a bit, are you?
Oh, why should I be? It's just wonderful. Oh, look over here.
Will you quit running around here like a doodlebug? What?
The bridge is over the river. Which one's that?
Oh, I don't know. Brooklyn or something.
Oh, gosh, so many buildings. I had no idea New York was so spread out. So many buildings and... Oh, gosh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, from up here.
What? What did you say, Michael?
I said it's all wonderful. From up here. You get down there, though, and... Well, I bet it's like one of those Hollywood, you know, glamour stars when she gets up in the morning.
Oh, Michael, what do you know about things like that?
Well, I know you're super colossal or something when you wake up.
Oh.
Well, you are. Your eyelashes sort of flutter. And then you stretch just like a little pup dog.
Like a pup dog? Is that romantic?
Well, I don't know the words. I just know that I'm gladder every minute that you married me.
You married me?
Don't argue with your husband.
Husband?
Glad no one else is up here.
All right, Michael. $2.20 to make love to me or to see the sights.
I married a beautiful cash register.
Listen, Mr. Smith, will you let go?
Oh.
Look, you're going to see me for 99 years, and, well, maybe this is the last time we'll be able to get away and see New York this way. And Michael.
What?
Look over there.
Yeah, how do you like that? Clouds.
Where did they come from?
Oh, usual place clouds come from.
Look at them, coming right at us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a strong wind, I'll bet.
Oh, Michael, this is so exciting. Why, we're up in the clouds.
It's made to order, just for you and me. Oh, no. Rain.
Oh, gosh, there goes the rest of our day.
Sure is a good thing they've got this place glassed in.
Oh!
Eve, it's only lightning. Oh! Eve, you've been in thunderstorms before.
Oh, Michael.
Eve, what is it?
The clouds, they're fighting.
Huh?
Look at them. They're fighting each other.
Is that any reason to be afraid, honey? Gosh, thunderclouds, they sort of boil around.
Like armies fighting.
Eve, what kind of talk is that?
Armies fighting.
Why do you keep saying that?
I can't help it. I keep thinking.
Well, don't think. Honey, remember we said our honeymoon. We weren't going to think about anything but us.
This is us. How can I be happy when all over the world...
All right, I will talk about it. I'll talk about it once and for all. Then you and I won't have to talk about it anymore. Gosh, I don't know anything about those things the newspapers are always talking of. Maybe I'm not so smart as the people who live in this town and all the other big towns when it comes to dodging taxis and throwing wisecracks. But I know this. I don't want to own everything I can get my hands on. And I know it isn't right for some people to have too much when some people have so little. And I know if I have to fight, I will fight. But if I fight, it'll be for what I know is right. For a kind of world where everyone has a chance. No matter what they look like, or what their name is, or what their blood is. Because I know that no matter what anyone says, people all over the world, they're just like you and me. All they want... All I want is happy work and someone they care for, to work for. And a little time left over just to enjoy being alive.
I love you, Michael.
Let's go down.
No. Just a moment, Mark. Storm's breaking.
Yeah, I guess it is. Gosh. First time in my life I ever talked like that.
You were very good.
Not bright, but good.
Michael, look.
Look at what?
Just can't see anything down there.
Yeah. Yeah, the air's full of mist, that's why.
You see things and yet you don't see them.
Let's go. Hold on my arm. If it's still raining when we get down, we'll take a taxi back to the hotel.
All right.
I guess this is the button I pressed to get the elevator up here. Yeah, that ought to bring him up. Gosh, thunderstorms and everything.
It's been quite an experience, hasn't it?
Yeah. I sure jumped out of my skin when you screamed. I mean, when you saw those thunderclouds.
I didn't scream, Michael.
Well, you certainly did, sort of. I sure don't know much about women, I guess. I mean, you were afraid of the clouds, and then you weren't afraid of the thunder and lightning.
Clouds were horrible.
Oh. Hey, what's the matter with this elevator?
Ring again.
That's all I've been doing.
Something must be wrong with it. Maybe the button is...
Yeah, that's plain enough.
Well, don't be so impatient.
Well, we certainly can't walk down.
They'll come up for us.
Something sure is out of order.
Maybe we had better walk down.
102 floors?
Oh, no, I mean just to the next landing where we can get the next elevator. Oh, let's take the stairway, Michael.
Okay. I guess there's nothing else to do about it. Come on.
Don't walk so fast.
Down we go, Mrs. Smith. Elevators are all right, but me, I'll take the old-fashioned horse.
Oh, crazy.
54.
Michael, look, that door says 86.
Hallelujah, we're here. Sure, a heavy door. All righty, go on through.
Okay.
Then we'll find out what the matter was. Elevators, yeah. Yeah, there they are.
Doors are open.
Yeah. Gosh. Where's the elevator, man?
Maybe we just better wait.
Wait? I want a ride. Where are they?
Nobody in the home.
Hey!
Oh, Michael, don't.
Oh, we gotta get someone to run the contraptions. Hey, elevator man.
Michael, they won't like it.
Well, gosh, I don't like being stuck up here. Hey, is there someone here to run these elevators?
No one.
Now what'll we do?
The next elevator stopped on the 80th floor, didn't it?
You mean walk again?
Well, I guess we'll have to.
Yeah. Now what could have happened to him? Anyone here? Hey, we want to get downstairs. Hey!
No use, dear.
Well, there's got to be someone on this floor.
Michael, don't get so excited.
Well, gosh, 80 floors. We can't walk all that way.
We'll have to.
Telephone.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the telephone. That's it. I'll call the operator and tell her what's happened. Come on.
Michael, wait for me. Michael, you can't go in there.
Come on.
But Michael, it's a private office.
Sure, but they won't mind if we come in and say... Can you beat that?
No one here.
Gone off with the elevator men, I'll bet you. Well, at least they left the phone. Hope I can dial this thing right. Yeah. Yeah, it says operator here.
Michael, they're not going to like it at all if they come back in here and find that we walked in without
it.
What's the matter?
The phone. Here, listen.
Sounds sort of dead.
Yeah, I'll see. Here, give it to me. We gotta get someone. Hey! Hey, listen, operator. How about answering? Operator.
It's no use.
Yeah. Boy, is this a mess.
Have to walk down, I guess.
Where is everyone in this building? Gosh, I'd think they'd keep someone on...
Maybe there's been a fire.
Fire? Yeah. Yeah, maybe there's been a fire.
Quick, let's get to the stairway and get out of here. Quick, Michael. We gone?
5 or 6 floors. Hold on to my army.
But the whole building can't be empty.
We tried every office on this floor, I tell you. There's no one. No one.
But Michael...
I'm as tired trying to figure it out as I am walking down the whole blasted 102 floors. Floor after floor. Offices all fixed up as if people were working in them. No one there. I give up.
Michael.
Huh?
The war.
Huh?
I mean the war news. Everyone ran out into the street.
Oh, Eve, does that make sense? A whole skyscraper emptied out just to grab newspapers.
But Michael,
about a war that's all the way over the ocean. Makes about as little sense as anything else. Well, this is it.
Oh, gosh, are we really...
Sir, help me. Main floor. Oh, my name.
Michael, don't sit down. Hurry.
Hurry? Where?
Out of here. The street. Don't you want to know what's happened?
Well, yeah, sure. Here. That door says to the street. Come on, let's go.
Wait for me.
Sure glad to get out of this place. Come on. Out we go.
Okay.
It's all right, honey. It's all right.
But what's happened?
Not a person on the streets.
Michael, there were so many.
Yeah.
Michael, listen.
I don't hear anything.
Listen.
Wind.
That's it. That's it, only the wind. Michael, don't you remember? Ever since we got to New York, all day yesterday, all night, this morning, the noise. Don't you remember the noise?
Yeah.
And now nothing but the wind. What's happened? Why is it so quiet now? Where are the people? Michael, tell me! No, just keep walking.
All right.
If only we'd meet one. If we'd meet just one person. Someone, anyone.
Eve, stop it. Of course we'll meet someone. We've got to. There's millions of people in this town. There's millions of them.
There's not a living thing. Horse, dog, nothing.
There's an explanation. There's an explanation for everything. Everyone's gone somewhere, that's all. They've gone somewhere.
Where have they gone, Mike?
Careful, the car.
Why? It's standing still like all the rest.
Crazy people. Leave the car standing right in the middle of the street. They'll come back. They've got to. There's millions of people in this town. People!
No.
Where are you?
Please don't, Michael.
Hey, people!
Michael, stop.
Hey, somebody, come on out!
Michael, stop yelling to the empty street!
Come on out! People!
Michael!
Where are you?
Michael, stop!
Eve. What's happened to us? No, we gotta keep going. We gotta find someone. They'll tell us. They'll tell us what happened. Eve. What is it, Eve?
Michael, I just thought.
Thought what?
All those empty streets. What if there is no one else?
Huh?
What if you and I are the only ones left? Michael. I can't walk another step.
All right. We'll rest.
Where?
Anywhere. Doesn't matter much, does it? All New York's ours. You ought to know that by now.
Oh, please don't.
Look, you know where we are? We're in Broadway. Times Square. Well, I'll give you Times Square. It's all yours. A wedding present.
Michael, I'm so tired.
Yeah, it's yours. The shops and the big signs. And all the taxi cabs and the buses and the cars standing around, it's yours, Eve. Yours to have or to lose or burn
Michael,
up or...
Michael, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eve. I guess I'm a little goofy. Let's keep going.
All right. Tired?
Yeah.
Will there be light?
No.
How do you know?
I tried the light switches all along the way.
I won't be afraid of the dark.
No. No, I guess that's one advantage you've got. Coming from the country.
There'll be people there, won't there?
I don't think so.
Why do you say that?
When we went into that store before, there were radio sets. Battery ones. I tried them when you weren't looking. There's nothing on the air.
What does that mean?
It means what you said before. Maybe it's true.
We're the only... The only...
Yeah.
Well, somehow I'm not as frightened as I was.
No, me neither. My head is all... Oh, I'm just mixed up, that's all. They left the doors open, and the car is right in the middle of the street. And everything's just as if they stopped right in the middle of what they were doing. But why? Why? That word's got me dizzy. It's chasing around in my head.
Michael.
Millions of people. Where have they disappeared to? If only we had some idea.
Michael.
Any idea. What's the matter? Why are you looking over there?
That newspaper. The headlines.
War, fury, rages. Armies march in Asia and Europe. Well.
The headline.
What of it? It's the same one as this morning.
But, Michael, couldn't that be the answer?
Answer to what? What are you talking about?
Why they disappeared.
Eve, get hold of yourself. What's a war thousands of miles away got to do with this?
Oh, maybe it's the same over there.
You mean people gone?
Yes.
Let's keep going. No, the curb. Let's sit here. Now, you got to tell me what you started to say.
You won't laugh at me when I say it.
Just tell me.
Well, the war. People killing each other. Maybe God got tired of it.
What?
Well, he's been so patient, waiting all these years for people to learn how to live on the earth. So today, he just got tired and took everybody away.
Eve.
Don't look at me like that. Is what I said any more crazy than what's happened? Look, Michael, this street should be like daylight with electric signs. There should be so many people around us and cars coming and going and streetcars and a whole city living. But there's nothing, Michael. Who else but God could have taken them away? Why can't it be true? He got so tired of all the horrible mess we were making of things that he took them away. Yes,
No, stop it.
But, Michael,
it's crazy talk. I won't listen to you.
It's crazy because we don't understand.
It's impossible, I tell you.
Why is it impossible? I don't know very much, but... Well, I do know this. I've been thinking about it all the time we were walking. Call the way people got here on Earth any name you want, but... Well, no matter how you say it, when you really think about it, it's all a miracle. Things joining in the empty air and growing out of things that couldn't move. And the animals, for millions of years till they were men. Well, I tell you, it's all crazy and impossible, and yet someone made it happen. So why not this? Yes, if he made men, why couldn't he just get tired of the way they were doing things and destroy them?
I can't believe it's you talking.
Michael, I think I'm saying the truth. Someone made mankind, and that someone just destroyed them.
Then what are we doing here? We're flesh and blood, just like the rest.
Goddess. Or maybe...
What?
It doesn't matter.
Tell me.
Well, maybe you and I...
Well?
Well, maybe he wanted just a couple of people to start over with.
You say crazy things. And then you say crazy
But
ones.
What if it's true, Michael? You think, what if it is true? The things you said up on the roof during the storm, the good things. Maybe he heard them and liked them.
It's getting dark.
Maybe he heard them and liked them.
I'm awfully tired. Let's find a place to sleep.
All right. Where'll we go?
Any place. We can go any place now.
Yes. Let's hurry. It'll be terrible on the streets when it's very dark.
Yeah.
No. Wait, Michael.
Huh?
Why should we hurry and be afraid? Who can harm us now?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. All the harm is out of the city now.
Oh, Michael, You don't quite believe all the things I've said before, but... Well, tomorrow when the sun's shining again and we know that this really happened and it isn't some kind of a dream, you'll believe then, won't you?
Maybe.
You're thinking about something. Tell me what it is.
Well, if what you think did happen, maybe he left a few more people like us at different places on the earth. I mean, plain, ordinary people, to join together and make a new world. We'll have to help run things.
Oh, Michael, yes.
But we don't know anything about running a world, you and I. We're just you and me. How can we do better than they did? The millions of them.
Maybe by remembering something they sort of forgot.
What?
It's just to do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Think, on Tuned to Yesterday, an ABC broadcast released for syndication in 1953. And so closes this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.